long is long? Because 1 year you see very long as well. Alright? But let me recap something that that took place yesterday when we looked at the landscape of ministry in Malaysia. And have you heard about many things about the generation that we are serving? I'm sure as we sat there, there were many things in our heart that we responded to. And this morning, I just would like you to take out a blank piece of paper. I will give a full note later. But as I speak, I'd like you to just respond with questions or insights that you might have from your experience. So that you know you don't get distracted by looking at the notes or taking the notes, right? You know, notes, you never look at them again. So it's not important, but let's just be open to respond. And I'll give you the notes at the end. Alright? But as we look at the landscape of ministry yesterday, there were some words that were thrown about. We are serving an abandoned generation, an urbanized generation. What other things do you remember from yesterday? Sorry? The Sesame Street generation.
Houses at war.
Fathers, what about fathers?
Fatherless.
Anything else? There was one other generation that he mentioned. The dry bone generation, the positive one. Okay, anyway, as you heard all these things, as you were done, what was your response? Did you say, yes, I'm here, I'm serving this generation? Or did you say, it's a long time? Okay, can I hear some responses? Because this is a place where you can actually learn from one another. So what were some of your responses that you heard some of these things as youth workers? Let's start from younger, as in not younger to ministry, but... No la. Jitpang la. I know Jitpang for his student days, so let me call on him. How did you feel when you said all these things? I'm taking her back because last night she said, after this talk, you'll determine whether I stay or leave.
I felt the urgency. I need to influence many more youth workers to take back this message.
And this morning, we're going to continue. We were looking at it from another perspective, which is from our perspective as youth workers, and talking about staying long in ministry. And I remember about what Herbert said yesterday about the technical change. So some of you will find all this distracting and you feel giddy by this. Please don't look. Alright? You see on the board there, certain numbers. And you must be wondering what those numbers are. I just wanted to take a head count. How many of us has been in ministry for less than 5 years? Yeah, I'm not talking about full-time, I'm talking about in the youth ministry, whether in a full-time capacity or not. Less than 5 years. Okay, very good. We hope that you will stay. How many of us have been in ministry for less than or equal to 15 years? okay, most of us are in this category here. Equal to 20 years. Okay. Praise God. More than 20 years. Yay! Because these are the people we need to be hanging out with. And just don't really hang out with more than 20, okay? And you will discover lots of stories. And courage and some of the realities of ministry. You see, when I came into youth ministry, which is in full-time work at the age of 24, my hair was black. And now you're wondering why it's still black, is with the help of, you know what, with all the help you can get. But I'm completely gray now. And this is no exaggeration, okay? And I ask myself, is it youth ministry? I know this, like 1 year of coming to youth ministry, the gray hair started. And then meeting my third day, it became a lot. Right? So I asked myself, is it youth ministry? The second thing that I noticed when I came into youth ministry was I could read, you know, Bibles like this with very small writing. Now I use giant print Bibles. And my husband to come down today, I left my giant print Bible up there. So I can borrow from my colleague, right, the very small print Bible. And so there are many changes that we notice about ourselves. But let me just say this right up front. Christian ministry is the worst of all trades, but the best of all professions.
Amen.
And I sincerely believe this with all my heart. You know, when we had to send out materials to you, I tried to look around for materials on this. People would say long articles or say long in ministry books. And honestly, I found none. So I came to the conclusion that not many stay long. And I think this people here who have stayed long, you all should write books. All right, to help us who want to or who are considering staying long. I found the internet search for articles very difficult, books related to staying long in ministry difficult, and I came to the conclusion that the statistics show a short and sweet symphony. Right? And I hope we will change it. I hope that we here will change the thing. But I would like to ask you, do you believe that people should stay long in ministry or not? Not everybody believes, you know. Not everybody believes that all of us are called to stay long in ministry, and maybe it is hazardous. And as we explore, there are certain issues that I would like you to look at in staying long in the ministry. Alright? That you need to think about before. But I also ask myself, why is it most of us do not stay long? The first reason that culture is usually age. And age is the reason that causes us to transit out of youth ministry. The second reason usually people say change of passion. And the question is, does our passion for youth grow any less as we leave the ministry? Third, maybe it's the way we do ministry that tires us out and I don't know, causes us to think that our time is I thought of all the people who have left ministry, and there have been many who left for good reasons, but there have also been many who ended their term prematurely. Mm-hmm. I think of a person who stayed long enough, I won't say how many years, but the reason he left, and I think maybe it's a good reason to leave, was he thought that by that time, you know, he had met so many youth, and after a while he kept saying to himself, same story, same problem. And it was something very, he felt very bored, and he felt that he was not honoring the young people in ministering to them when he talked and felt like that about them. Mm-hmm. And he felt it was time for a change. But I also know a person who, because youth ministry needs a lot of money around, by the time this person left, the person was so burnt out that the person could not even go to church for the next year. To that point of disillusionment and burnout. And on the other hand, I think of an 80-year-old lady from Hawaii. When she came to Malaysia to teach Bible studies to young kids, teenagers and university students, I wondered how she would go down with them, you know. And you know, at the end of her session, many of them went and told her this. They didn't tell her anything about her Bible study, but they told her, I wish I had a grandma like you. And you know, I think what her husband is through, maybe the grandparents and children are a new ministry. But the question that I ask is it the problem within or is it coming from outside? And I think it's both. I think it's both. I'd like to before turning to a passage, I'd like to share with you very shortly my journey. I recollect four clear times when I thought of leaving ministry. Alright? Other times may not have been so important, but these were the four major times I considered leaving ministry. And I hope you have your answer why I did not want to take up this topic, because this was one year I seriously considered whether it was time to end my term as in a youth ministry context. Alright? In my first year as a staff worker of NDS, let me tell you the issues were different. As a new youth worker, the issue was mainly you felt overwhelmed, you felt you had nothing to give, and then you look at all your seniors. And then you say, I can never be like them. I can never have wisdom like them. And you were fighting and losing battle. It was issues of confidence. It was issue of, hey, I thought full-time work or ministry was different. How come it's no different from like outside? And it was discouragement. And that could be something that caused many people to cut short their ministry involvement. In my sixth year, it was a different story. In my sixth year was when I had been long enough to have tried different things, and I felt very disillusioned with the system. The youth ministry system, the system within our organization at that time, and we struggled together. And I was thinking, like, is it worth it to stay and continue fighting? So at that time, there weren't things like training that you had to fend for yourself. You had to feel your way through ministry. And so these were some serious questions that I considered. And I tell you in the sixth year what made me stay. When I went into ministry, my mother was my most ardent opponent. She fought me all the way. But when I actually went in, by God's grace, she became my most ardent prayer warrior. So on my sixth year, I remember what I did. The day I wrote my resignation letter, I called home and I said, Mom, if I quit now, can I come home? Is there a place for me at home? And she said, of course. But you know, 6 years ago, you were the one who fought with me. So why don't you stay and I'll pray for you? And I was thinking, my mother, always when I want to do something, she might do the opposite. I think so. That, you know, through her and her prayer, the Lord allowed me to stay. My letter here was a different experience. Because sometimes we go through poison in the system when police sometimes we have difficult times. Sometimes there are changes in leadership and you decide, you know, is this the time to leave? And this is the time that I also considered leaving. And I'm sharing this with you because there may be different ones of you in this position as well. In my 17th year, it's a different reason. I felt that we have raised enough new leaders in our organization. I felt, before that, I talked about the bullets, I felt that in ministry, I also felt I was in a very powerful position. Because after 17 years, there seems to be a lot of respect, not just from my colleagues, even among students, you know. Maybe because so much more older, I thought ministry seems to be easier now than when I was a younger staff worker. And they treat me very much like a parent, but maybe not like a parent. I think now, after hearing her, maybe they treat me like a grandparent. You know, and so I wondered, hey, am I stewarding this power over their life correctly? And should it be time to actually, you know, move on? But the other thing that happens also during the time, I heard there were a lot of bullets coming our way. And if you could take an x-ray of myself, probably that you'd be ridden with bullet holes along the way. And then I said, after 17 years, no need any more bullets. You know, let's go and rest somewhere quietly and peacefully. Because it's just a consideration. It's a group ministry. It's full of people. And when I want to challenge us to stay long, I want us to look at the real picture. The real picture. Are we ready for longevity? When you say, stay long. Are we sure that if we stay long, we are able to connect with the young people? Are we sure that we can breathe with them? And as Herbert said, we can actually be incarnational in our ministry, be relevant to them. Are we sure that we won't reach stalemate? You know, as I go to the temple sometimes, I go there after a whole day of work, and I reach there at 8 o'clock, and the students are jumping up and down. And all I want to do is sit down and rest. So when they worship, sometimes I just, because they say, hey, why aren't you jumping and worshiping? You know, so I close my eyes so they think I'm praying. And I say, Lord, you understand, I need to pray. And you see, you know, you see the difference. I can't jump up and down as they do. You know, and it helps on you. So are we really ready for staying long? Then when you look at youth ministry, there are many tensions or raw nerves. How do people look at youth ministry? Many people look at it as holding tanks. When they look at us as youth ministers, they see us as appraising people. But we teach their youth and preserve them. And sometimes when they don't get preserved and something happens to them, they come looking for the youth worker. It's hazardous. It's a hazardous ministry that we're in. You think of us as surrogate families, and many of our youth, if you look at the university team, I can safely tell you 80% of the youth come from dysfunctional families. And it's almost that the youth worker is a surrogate parent to them. Then many of them look with suspicion at youth. Look at them as revolutionaries, radicals who need to be cracked down. And many of us sometimes we find that whose side are we on? The side of the youth or not? And it's difficult to consider staying on in this situation. Are the youth are forced to be contained? Depends on whose perspective. Or are they an energy to be unleashed? Maybe from a youth person's perspective, we must encourage them, we must release them. But there are people who say, don't give them too much power. What among them? Surely this session keeps coming up time and again. We are the youth, full participants in the church. And if you want to use yourself, these are some of the things you need to keep in mind for the long term. But they will come up again and again and again. Now, by this time, I seem like a prophetess of doom. I hope not. But I want to give us a real picture in considering this thing about staying long. Another thing I want to add to this too. If you consider how many years I've been in ministry, including my time in youth fellowship, is 20 or 30 years. Alright? And I'm still young. For those of you who want to know my age, I'm 25. And I've been 25 for the last 15 years. Alright. Anyway, looking through the years, from the 60s especially, right? Or 1940s especially, you will see that the youth ministry actually has been changing like the chameleon. The way we do youth ministry has been changing by quantum changes. When I was a youth, now I sound old. We just did 1.5 hour Bible exposition. And we didn't fall asleep. Change. Now if you give a 20-minute sermon, people will come back to tell you it's very long. And it's very difficult. But we're only talking about sermons and things. And so, it's never been clearer that the youth are a separate group. And why I pinpointed 1940, right? That was when World War II happened. And when World War II happened, was when many of the families were abandoned. Mothers had to go out to work. And that was when the type of dysfunctional family came about. And you look at the rise of youth ministry, that was the time when youth ministry could happen.
that was the time when people felt they needed our first attention. This is how it goes. They became actually separate from the church, mainstream of the church. And so in a sense, when we do ministry, we do realize actually why many of us say, yes, the youth are part of the church. Very much they are also a separate ministry from the church. So I feel people are new here, they are at risk. And if you think these are different words meaning the same thing, they are not. We are at risk because as we go on in the ministry, the first thing is we can lose our vision, disillusionment. We can lose our dreams. And we need to keep looking at what it is that the Lord is calling us for. The second thing is we can lose our courage. Discouragement to carry on. We can lose our empowerment. The power, we feel so powerless and helpless because the needs are so great and there are many people who do not buy into you. But not least, we can lose our calling, our appointment. God has called us into this ministry, but along the way, we have forgotten God because of money issues. Right? So these are my friends. This is the verse that I'd like to look at. You can turn with me quickly to John 13, verse 5. And I'll try to read very fast from this four-page title. It was just before the Passover feast when Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. I chose this passage to read before us because of this. I think in these ministers, many of us find ourselves running about. Many of us find ourselves sometimes trying to gain the approval maybe of the church members. You know, if you're a youth pastor, especially a youth worker, I do not know whether you feel it maybe in Krasana. Sometimes many people look at you like, you must be a youth person like me, hanging out with youth all the time. And sometimes we feel that need to prove ourselves. When I look at this passage, and I ask myself, Jesus at that very hour, he was about to go to him. Finally fulfilled his call, and what was it that enabled him to be free to minister to his disciples? Right? And these were some things I'd like to give to him. Three things. The first and most important was his credentials. For him, credentials was not the approval of people. The Pharisees were all against him, were all out to him. His credential was only one thing. His identity that he had. His height wasn't directly, his height was measured. Jesus knew that the Father had put everything in his power. Jesus knew that the Father had obeyed his kind. And I think that one identity and God kept him. I think the one thing that kept me all these years was just one thing. No matter what, I God chose that. And I will not fight to prove myself to anybody else. The credentials of identity. The second thing was this. Jesus knew his time had come. Timing and calling. It was his calling to move on. And we know our call and our timing. And third, but not least, it resulted in simple service. He showed them the full extent of his love, which was washing his disciples' feet. Simplicity and service. close and don't suffocate it. These are the odds that we have to face in this ministry. Aging is that, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about our youth. Did you notice in our youth fellowship, the older they get, it's harder for them to come for youth fellowship? It's harder for them to come for youth fellowship because there are many things that are calling them. And you need to know this is one of the greatest obstacles will break the heart of a youth worker. My heart has been broken again and again as I see the youth. I work with tertiary youth. Once they come in, there are so many things that are calling out to them and for them. We have to actually fight to keep them. I like the vision statement of focus in the ministry. It's the world's rescue of all times, right? The ministry that we are called to. We have lost many of our youth because as they age, there are many other things calling them. And we can use whatever method, you know. You know, in the 1980s, the Church Girls Movement taught us that youth ministry needed to be a little bit more exciting and innovative so that the youth can grow and the church can grow. So they used this method called the switch, the bake and switch method. You bake them, and then you disciple them, you switch, you disciple them. But I think sometimes we have carried it a bit too far. We bake them, and before we can switch to anything, they're already gone. I have a lot of my youth who also tell me this. We do not want simple answers any longer. We are young, we like fun, yes. But you know, we are not getting the answers, the real answers, and we are seeking. We want the real answers. And I tell them, okay, seek. But it's heartbreaking because when they teach, they will also go to a period in the wilderness. And are we willing to break our heart along with them? How many of us sitting here have actually also gone to our own wilderness and come through? And we need to still exercise that ministry. Secondly, I see in many youth ministries, the odds are against us because we have many missing anchors. These five things cannot be compromised, my friends, in our youth ministry. Because then whatever we do will not work. And they go together, they're not one or another. First thing, do we have firm foundations in our youth ministry? Is it biblically based? And, you know, I let me tell you a secret. Usually ourselves, the CG leaders in the youth and the tertiary group, whenever they want to have CG meetings and they CG Mahan and CG outing, they all announce it loudly, you know. But the week when it's Bible study, we'll whisper. But you know, I find many of them are hungry. Many of them come and say, teacher, show us how to read the word in a way that is relevant to us. And I agree again with what Herbert said. Maybe it's the word, it's the way we are teaching them that makes them put off. But the same hunger is there. Secondly, we need to have them see, right, that we are kingdom agents. Many of our Christian fellowships are because fellowships revolving around ourselves. And it's no longer where we establish God's kingdom on earth, God's presence on earth. So a inward looking youth group will always, after a while, die. Third, we are called to be agents of restoration. God able to redeem even the worst of broken places, the worst of righteous, and in our ministry to be healed. And if we want to have that, it will mean that we actually come alongside and live among these people. And sometimes we ask ourselves, how long then? How many of us as youth workers have had to go and bail our people out? I was having dinner with one student. I was talking, you know, I'm a person who will pat you on the back or put my arm around you. I took hold of her hand and I was shocked. Her hands were full of marks. And I asked her, what are these marks? And she told me, she was in the third year, and she told me, since her first year, she's been trying to kill herself. Okay, but you know, no more lah. Then I said, but this mark looks fresh, the latest one. And this is what she told me. Now I'm not trying to kill myself. I want to tell you something. Sometimes the pain inside is so painful that I'd rather just cut myself physically so that it takes off the pain from inside. And now he's willing. That is one of the odds that If you want to stay long, you need to stay with them and help them with no shortcuts, right? Prophetic vision. Then you challenge the youth, and the youth love to be challenged to become their idol, to make life a difference. And you say, it's okay before. And last but not least, authentic community. Many of our youth are saying, yes, we have food, but we still get food. And as youth members, these are one of the odds we must work at to build. And it's a humongous task. And last but not least, in this area, the angle we must consider, again, it comes back to church. What do you think of church? I think all these years, one thing we lack is the theology of youth ministry. That's why we go shopping for all kinds of things. And we use the latest method. Do we actually have a theology for how we do youth ministry? That's why many of us are feel sometimes as outsiders and sidelined, feeling lonely as youth workers. Oh, I shall not tell on my shirt. And you know what's the worst of it all? Because youth pastors or youth ministers get full time, are considered junior, the remuneration is also of that line, you know? Like a real junior work line, you know? Sometimes we work so hard. Do you know, I cannot live a normal life anymore. I cannot wake up at 7 o'clock. And I have a meeting like this at 8:30 is torture. Because my clock has changed. I stay with the students until 3, 4 because that's the hours they eat. And you ask, where do they sleep? When do they sleep? So, this question. And so we, and people say, oh, lepa, you know? Very lepa. Sometimes they are inspiring even to give them a smile. You know? And you need to look at it. Developmentally, the older you get, if they ask you to stay long, you need to address this. The gap is going to get bigger. And I think what won't work is this. If you try to behave like a young person, she'll say, grow up like you. They will come and tell you, the youth will come and tell you, uncle, the one who's dressing like her, grow up like you. So somebody saying, just yesterday asked me, oh, you want to keep up with you, that's why you keep his hair. Actually, no. My honest answer is this. This is my answer to my older church members. They always tell me, Annette, your hair too short. So I like short hair, so I keep it short in front. When they tell me, Annette, your hair too short, I wait for that, and then I turn to the back. So it's not to keep up with the youth, because they don't want us to be like them. Alright? But developmentally, another issue other than the generation gap is this. Are we even relevant here? Relevant. That's one we have to answer. And if it's time we cannot, I don't think I want to challenge us to stay long in ministry. You know why? I remember my youth advisor. I tell you, he almost died under him. We thought he was taking out his frustrations on us. And I think that if we want to stay long, we need to be relevant to young people. Spiritually, the worst word of Bishop are youth pastors, youth counselors, youth ministry people. You know what? Half the time we are trying to look to somebody we are working, because most of the time we look like we are late after. So we need and guarding their spirituality. Second thing about spirituality is this. Because we are so tempted, you know, to buy into the latest fad of youth ministry, sometimes we do not listen to the voice of the Spirit and move our ministry according to how the Lord wants it to be. We just want to be the latest for such things. And these two things are going to challenge us in one position. So we need to move on and say, now she said, Pastor Martha said, I'm a prophetic person and this word will always come out of my mouth. We need you to stay long because you need to have a prophetic agenda. Youth ministry in our country is not going to grow unless people like you stay long enough You know why? If you stay for a few years and you say something, they say you are young people. Wait until you grow up for them. You will know lah, you know, you cannot do this. But if you have stayed long, then we can be the voice, the prophetic voice for the youth in our ministry. We need to be the guardians. There needs to be guardians of the ministry, the voices of guardians. People who will guard God's glory, because I'll tell you something, and I say this humbly, alright? I think very afraid that many of us are not guarding God's glory in our youth ministry. We're just being entertainers. And I feel very afraid. We need to guard the integrity of our ministry, that it is holy and wholesome, that we do not give empty promises. We need to guard, you know, against temptations, because if you do not want to open your eyes, it's okay, but I think youth ministers are one of those high-rate people who fall. And we need, yeah, professional at the top, to guard against shortcuts. When I came into the ministry, I was young, impatient. I'm still young, and a little bit more patient. We need the voices of radicals. You know, Eugene Peterson says this. Radicals are people who go to the root of the matter. That's the meaning of radical, not rebels. When you call somebody a radical, you're calling them a rebel. But actually, a radical is a person who goes to the root of the matter. And if people have stayed long enough, we will begin to understand what is the real root problem. And so we must say, we need the voices of radicals, because radicals are people who don't mind looking a bit odd. Thick skin a bit. We need the voices of wisdom. You know, when the students will never let you alone, you know. When your hair is gray, they say, why your hair so gray? Won't die. When you dye your hair, you say, why you dye your hair? You get cancer. Now, when I don't dye my hair, I tell them, this is wisdom talking to you. The voices of wisdom are people who have stayed long enough, who can pull up your experiences, who reflect on their journey and then leave it behind for those coming after them. And we need more people who will stay long enough. And lastly, we need the voice of courage. People who are there to dare, who will stand up and say, I don't mind standing alone, but I will speak up for the youth. We need the voices who will encourage the younger ones, so that they will dare to dare as well. That is the meaning of staying long in the ministry. And so as I move on to the last thing, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed, but it will die. And it should be many seeds. Three things Jesus says here. Fall to the ground and die. And from these three things I'd like to point out about ministry in the long haul. Firstly, my friends, the call to you and me is that we need to surrender to falling to the ground. That's what I mean. Are we willing to give up our dignity? And sometimes I tell my students I have to give up my community as well. Because I hang around with young people so much, I don't sometimes have enough time for my own community, my peers, my age. I'd be willing to be brought low, to be humble. You know, the word humble comes from the word humus, which means ground. And the feet falls to the ground, brought low. This is a ministry not of being up there and popular. It's a ministry of humility. It's a ministry of willing to run with our dreams and sometimes allowing that dream sometimes to even die at the feet until it is so familiar. It is a ministry of being honest. What do I mean? Sometimes I think what tells central to this thing is when we let our young people know this is what we are. Things are not as much. And you don't do it in our ministry or touch in our ministry. But last but not least, what I say this about the surrender of falling. I think whoever wants to stay long, the one thing you must be willing to bear is the wounds of ministry.
any time I go has this poem by this writer, and only another writer, I don't remember the poem. Has down in his car. Have you no car? The second thing that Jesus said is the mystery of the ground. Now let's go to the ground. Our greatest temptation and the reason for burnout is because we do not allow God to be our nutrition. Allowing ourselves to be strong and allowing Him to speak in our life. The greatest danger for us is to go for many days without being God's presence. But the third point there is the one that He's ministered, we need to allow God to be God. Yahweh, the Lord, means you will be who you will be. Sometimes we become the Messiah for the young people. We become the person who has to attack them by our own means. Finally, and I end with this, the hope of the sheep dying is this. When they are the voice in the wilderness, something will be done eventually. I tell you, after 17 years, I see people who I've forgotten about, as in I've not thought about them for a long time, but I see them on the street, and I see what they are doing. And I saw some of them who were lost in the wilderness at one time, and I know that by being the voice in the wilderness, God has kept them, and they're doing well. We need to be willing to be vulnerable and real. They don't like fake messages. And this current movement in the church movement is the emerging church movement. People call it the postmodern movement, but I wouldn't want to say anything about it. But the emerging church movement is calling us to have conversations. What do I mean? We are not answered with us. We are people with no answers, but we are willing to find out and to hear one another. Friends, hang on. And I make this challenge to myself. Of course, in God's body, in God's body itself. Youth is not properly definable by spirit. By age, sorry. It is a spirit of daring, creating, asserting life, and openly relating to the world. And I think I see many youth here. Right? In Malaysia, the definition of youth is by 35, they are no longer youth. 40, yeah. Not 40 old, praise a lot, but I still don't make it. So these are the questions for you to discuss in your group. Please, the notes will be given out, but you don't have to look at the notes. What seems to be the odds for the battles that you have to battle in your own situation that may actually cause you not to stay long? And second, if you do get to this, what will it cost you to stay for the long term? I dream for the day when the youth ministry in Malaysia will be a different scene, because there are many people who have stayed long enough to be that kind of prophetic voice as well. That's great. My Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the privilege of calling us. And you know many of us intimately. You know our times of downness. You know the times when we are drawing to God. But Father, we want to pray. We want to pray for each one of us here as you have called us, that we will steward this ministry for as long as we can. And you know us. Our wounds, our battles, our spiritual dryness. Water us again with precious. So that, Lord, we can be the prophetic voice in the Malaysian arena. So Lord, we ask this and ask for your favor upon us at King Joseph. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. John knows that even though she kept an active thing that she may not be the best person to share, yet after her sharing you will understand why she is a good person to share. She may not feel as qualified as some who have stayed maybe 40 years, but yet in my time of knowing her and as you have heard her share, many of us here, including myself, we can identify with so many of the things that that she has shared. Now if we can just move into our group, group one today has the privilege of sitting in front. Group two can move up a little bit, 5, 6, 7. If we can really stay focused on the two questions, that would really help. Spend a moment reflecting for your own self first, your own self before you share, because I think these questions are important for ourselves personally first before we share. Okay? After you get the notes, then you can feel free to move. Group one, group two, you have until actually 10, but I'll give you until 10 past 10. Okay.